Today I'm going to talk to you about prayer life. How's yours? Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13, we're going to talk about prayer life. And I want you to think about, how is your prayer life? You see, because your prayer life impacts every part of your life. If you don't have a good relationship in your life, with your spouse, with your friends, with others, I'd be willing to say I'll bet your prayer life it's got some problems too. Prayer life is the most important life we can have. And so today, we're going to talk about prayer life. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. Here's what God's word says to us today. It says, and when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they already have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they'll be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things that you have need for, even before you ask of Him. So in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. This next week is May 3rd, National Day of Prayer. It's an exciting day. Exciting day for me. I'm excited about it. Exciting day for our country. It's a day where for many, many years, if you look back in the history from 52 to Truman, back to I think it was 88 when Reagan moved it forward, to every president since then, has talked about setting aside the first Thursday of the month of May as a time where the whole nation comes together and they pray to God. Picture that for a minute. Even if what they say is true, and we only have 45% of America is Christians, picture what that looks like for a minute. 45% of Emporia praying. 45% of Dallas, Texas praying. San Francisco, California praying to our Lord and Savior. Isn't that an amazing thought to have? You see, people are going to get together and they're going to pray for all kinds of things. They're going to pray for healing and advancement of our nation. They're going to pray for the country's safety. They'll pray for government officials. They'll be praying for Christians to stand up and for what they believe in and share the gospel. There'll be people that are asking the Lord for help, for deliverance, thanking Him for all the blessings He had. And as excited as I am about the National Day of Prayer, it started to get me thinking, which is a dangerous thing sometimes. But it started to get me thinking, and I thought, well, it's great our country sets aside one day to pray. It's good. But doesn't the Bible say in 1 Thessalonians 5 to pray without ceasing? So the Bible is clearly telling us that we're supposed to have this ongoing relationship with God. And that got me to think a little step further. And I thought, well, if we're supposed to have an ongoing relationship with God, we're supposed to continuously be in prayer with the Lord, we should be talking to Him all day, right, Brother Bill?
That's right.
Yeah, we should. God wants to hear from us. He loves us. He cares about us. And so then that brought me to the point of thinking, how is my prayer life? How is Alan Barris Jr.'s prayer life? And boy, the Lord was really speaking to me. And I wonder how your prayer life is. Because you see, your prayer life is the foundation of all your relationships. And so today, that's what we're going to talk about, is your prayer life. So I wonder for you, when is the last time that you truly went to the Lord in prayer? I'm not talking about prayers where you say the same thing you always say. I'm talking about where you really got down on your knees, you really meant business with God, and you really fervently, you went to Him intentionally, asking for things, praising Him for things. I mean, really talking to the Lord in prayer. Was it when you were saved? When you had big health problems? When you were looking for a job? I mean, when is the last time you really got serious and you went down and you talked to God about what was going on in your life? I mean, I think we can all agree that prayer, God answers prayer. The prayer moves mountains. Some of you could probably even testify how God did a miracle in your life that was beyond any human comprehension, but it was a way only God could show you that He answered prayer. And so if we know why prayer is important, if we know God can do all these things, take a look at your prayer life and ask yourself, why is my prayer life the way it is? You might think of that one person in your family that's not saved. And you say, I want to see that person saved. I want to ask you a penetrating question. How often do you really pray for that person? Once in a while? When somebody brings it up at church? Or are you on your knees praying for that person every day? Lord, I'm not going to give up praying until this person comes to know You as their Lord and Savior. How serious, really, are you about your prayer life? Many of us remember the movie War Room. There's a scene that I want to show you that addresses prayer life. Watch this.
You say you attend church occasionally. Is that because your pastor only preaches occasionally?
Miss Clara, I really would like to help you sell your house. That's why I'm here. As far as my faith is concerned, I believe in God, just like most people. He's very important to me.
Well, let me get our coffee.
So if I asked you what your prayer life was like, would you say that it was hot or cold?
I don't know that I would say it's hot. I mean, we're like most people. We have full schedules. We work. But I would consider myself a spiritual person. I'm not hot, but I'm not cold either. Just, you know, somewhere in the middle.
There you go. I've got pretty much sugar if you need
it. Oh, no, thank you. I like it black. Miss Clara, you like your coffee room temperature?
No, baby, mine's hot.
Woo! What a mess. What's your prayer life like? Is it lukewarm? Is it room temperature? Because you know what? God has something to say about that. He was giving John the message. George knows this. He was teaching us a little bit about this in Revelation chapter 3 to the church of Laodicea. And here's what he said about lukewarm. He said, I know your deeds. You're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Being in the middle is probably not such a good plan. That coffee probably tastes pretty nasty at room temperature. And being spit out of the Lord's mouth, probably a pretty nasty process too, amen? See, the Lord wants to talk to us every day. When it says pray without ceasing, it means He wants to talk to us every day. I go to my wife and I talk to her every day. I was at the state meeting, I was gone Thursday, I was gone Friday, I was gone Saturday. But there wasn't a day that I was without talking to my wife. I talked to her multiple times a day, you know why? Not that I was scared that she was going to beat me, Connie. That wasn't the truth. Because I love her, that's why. And when you love somebody, you talk to them, amen? Amen. And that's what God wants with us. Many people over the years ask, how can I have a better relationship with Jesus? You know, I used to feel like I was close to God, and now I feel like I'm far away, and I don't know what happened. Let me tell you what happened. Your prayer life slipped. That's what happens. That's what always happens. Your prayer life slipped. I was talking to Lewis and Deborah one time. And they said, boy, they were letting some of the things of the world just get to them. And then they realized, you know, it's been a couple days since we had prayed together. It's been a little while since we opened God's Word together. And so we realized we're at each other's throat. The world's causing all these problems. You know what? The problem's not with the world. The problem's not with the situation. They said, we got to get back here. And they know the answer, so they went back to the truth book. And it got them back aligned. And I believe the reason God has given me this message today is because many of us, we need to get back to that too. We got to get back to that intimate prayer life. We've got to get back to that love that we once had with the Lord, because now, well, we still love God and we know about God. Maybe something is missing in our life. And I'm here to fill in those details. The first way to start getting close to God, and I think the best way, is to start with prayer. Now, many of us learned to pray as a child. Most of us learned to pray as a child. Our parents taught us, grandparents, maybe we learned from church. And we started to learn little prayers, like praying over our meals. Then maybe we learned about praying at night before we went to bed. Right? You know what I'm talking about. Maybe you're here in the church and you say, you know what, Pastor, that's not how I learned to pray. I learned to pray because we were all standing at the end of some service and you called on me. That's how I learned to pray. Amen. But I want you to think about it. When did you learn to pray? Who taught you how to pray? Who loved you enough to tell you about prayer? Think about that. You see, the disciples too, they saw Jesus do all these miracles. They saw him do many great things, but you know what? They wanted to know how to pray. And so they asked Jesus, and Jesus taught them. Here's what he said again. He said, and when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corner of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And listen to this, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father, he already knows the things you have need of before you even ask of him. Before we continue the Lord's Prayer, I just want to share a couple quick things that can make your prayers effective, that can draw you closer to God. Because I think we all need that. Does anybody feel like they're close enough to God right now? I always want to be closer to God. Amen? Amen. One of the first things you have to make prayer work is faith. You say, Pastor, that's pretty elementary. Yeah, it is. But it's important. It's the truth. You've got to have that ingredient. You have to have faith. I mean, you have to have faith that the person you're praying to can answer your prayers. Amen? Amen. I don't go to a painter and say, I got an electrical problem. I got an electrical problem, I go to an electrician. I don't go to an auto mechanic and say, I got a problem with the roof of my house. It's not going to help. You've got to understand the source you're going to. And you've got to believe that that source can answer the questions that you're bringing to it. So faith, that's the first thing we need. And faith is one of those things you say, well, Pastor, I have faith. I believe in God. I know who He is. But it's hard for me sometimes to believe in a God that I can't see. You see, I could see the electrician, I could see the maintenance guy, I could see the automotive guy, I could see the roofer, but I can't see God, and so sometimes it's hard for me. And well, Matthew 6:6 addresses that. Jesus knew that was going to be tough for us. And so here's what he says. When you go to pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is in a secret place. If you have the NIV version, it says, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. You see, when we're talking to people on the telephone, we see them, right?
No.
Not unless you have FaceTime. But when you're typically talking to people, you see them face to face, like I see you and you see me. But if I'm talking to Bill on the phone, I still know I'm talking to Bill, right? I mean, if Lorraine was to get on the phone, your sweet wife, and she's like,
hello, Pastor Allen.
I would know that wasn't you, Bill. I would know it was her. Yeah. And if I was talking to Brother George on the phone, I know Sister Carol wouldn't get on the phone and say, hey, Pastor. I know that's not how Carol talks. It wouldn't be Brother George. I mean, we know these things, right? I don't have to see him. I know who he is. I know his voice. I hear his voice. And so I don't have to see him to know. But Jesus said, you know, it's going to be tough sometimes. And so when you begin to pray, it also gets a little tougher because Satan says, why are you praying to somebody you've never even seen before? What are you doing wasting your time? Do you really believe he's going to listen to you, Connie, when everybody else is praying to him? The National Day of Prayer is Thursday, May 3rd. There's going to be millions of people praying to him. Do you think he's going to listen to your prayer? That's what Satan puts in our head sometimes, doesn't he? But is he going to listen to our prayer? Absolutely. So you got to have faith. Now you say, well, I got the faith, but I don't understand how God works. Well, you know what? I don't understand how he works either. I don't know how my garage door opener works. I really don't. I push the button and the garage door goes, "Ur-ch." Cool. I don't necessarily understand how it works, but I believe it works because I've seen it work. Same thing with a cell phone. I don't know how that works. How I can pick up a phone and talk to somebody three streets away, halfway across the world, by picking up a phone that has a battery. Like, I get the concept of a can and the string and another can. Like, it goes through the vibration of the wire. But what happens, you know, with this air signals and all? I don't know how that works. But you know what? If I dial Daryl's number, he answers the phone. I don't know how it works, but I believe it because I've seen it work. I don't know everything about how prayer works, but I believe it because I've seen it work. I believe it because the Lord tells us that he knows our needs even before we ask. I believe it because God says, even though, Alan, you don't know what to pray for, the Spirit intercedes on your behalf. And let me tell you, I've had some prayers like that before, where your heart is in such a rough place, you don't know what to do. You just get down and you just get down by your bed or wherever you're at, and tears just start flowing out of your eyes. You don't even know what to pray for because your heart hurts so bad. It could be the loss of a loved one. It could be the loss of a job. It could be my neighbor I found out yesterday, his wife of 10 years left him. That certainly would bring me to my knees praying, and I was for him. My heart still hurts for him today. I don't know what that's like, and I hope I never have to know what it's like. What a tough, tough situation. So you don't have to understand everything about it to know that it works. So the first thing you need is faith. Second, you need commitment. The first thing the devil's going to try to do is to get you away from praying. Why? Because there's power in prayer. When I was over visiting my brother in Hope in Kuwait, and we were praying before we ate, that waitress came and she tried to break apart our arms. She spilled water on us and everything else. Why? Because she may not believe in the person we're praying to, but she knew there was power in the name of Jesus. She knew there was power in prayer. And so what she wanted to do, she wanted to stop it. So first you need faith. The second thing you need is commitment. And you need to drive that commitment home. You wouldn't miss a cancer appointment if you had cancer. Sin is way worse than cancer. Sin kills us all. So how much more should you then try to keep your appointment with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Amen? Amen. You see, the first time you make that commitment to read your Bible or a commitment to pray to God every morning or whenever you're going to do that, the devil starts throwing all kinds of things in your way. Uh-huh. Everything is an obstacle. I mean, I'm telling you, your toilet's going to explode, refrigerator's going to break down, your wife or your friend is going to call you. Something is going to happen when you're trying to intentionally pray. And that leads me to my third point. Pray in privacy. Verse 5 says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners. Jesus says, when you pray, go into your room and close the door so that it'll be just you and God. And then just pour your heart out to him. Now, don't get me wrong. There's also a place for public prayer. Jesus prayed before he fed the 5,000. Jesus prayed before Lazarus came back from the dead. Jesus prayed many, many times. He prayed before he instituted the Lord's Supper. But Jesus urged us to pray alone. Because why? When we pray alone, we don't have any other distractions. When we pray alone, we're just him and us. And you know what else? As he urges us, I believe, to pray some things out loud. I think sometimes we need to say, "Be gone, devil, leave us. Get behind me, Satan." I think sometimes we need to say, God, I need help here. I don't know what to do. And sometimes when we sit down and we just say those little prayers in our mind, you know what happens? I don't know if it happens to you, but it happens to me. My mind drifts. I start thinking about all kinds of other stuff. I don't even know why I'm praying anymore. Because I'm not even thinking about it. I'm talking to the creator of the world and my mind is off in the middle of nowhere. But if I'm praying out loud, I know what I'm praying for. My mind is staying on track. You know one thing I miss? Back in the day, when they had older houses, I'm talking 1800s, some of the 1900 houses, they used to build a room in that house. It used to be under maybe a stairwell or maybe a small closet, but they called it a prayer room. And it would have a little shelf. You could put a Bible there, sometimes a little bench or something to kneel on. A prayer room. I'm serious. You go to some antique stores today, you'll find little kneeling benches. You'll find little prayer places. And you know, we can learn from our ancestors. We're so focused on building our game rooms, our music rooms, our multimedia rooms. We got rooms for everything in our house. But when's the last time you saw a prayer room in somebody's house? Boy, can we learn. And fourth and finally, we need to pray with intention, with expectation, with fervor. We got to pray like we mean it. We got to pray with a purpose. If we just go down there and just start mumbling, rambling words, the Bible condemns that. Listen to what it says. When you pray, do not keep on babbling like those pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Oftentimes, we just pray and recite the prayers that we heard from other people. We might stand there and say, I heard somebody say a couple of these things. Sound good. I'm going to say them too. Oh, bless the church. Bless the missionaries. Heal the sick. Lord, lead God and direct our paths. Father, thank you for this food, for that it will nourish our bodies. You know, I started thinking about that. I've said that prayer many times. I started thinking about that. I'm thanking Jesus for the food. That's a good thing. Why am I thanking him for it to nourish my body? That's what food does. It nourishes your body. That's what it's going to do no matter what. Maybe I should be a little more thoughtful. My family has made fun of me. Can you believe that, Dave? But they have. We gather hands on a Thanksgiving dinner, brother. We gather our hands around, and they make fun of my prayers. I'm like, Lord, thank you for the truck driver. Picked up this stuff from the farmer. Thank you for the man who planted the seeds, Lord. Thank you for the guy who sold this stuff to the grocery store so he could buy it. Because, Lord, all I know about milk is it comes from the store. So thank you, Jesus, for putting it there for me. They look at me like, are you ever going to shut up so that we can eat it? You ever had people do that to you? My family does that to me. But, I mean, we should be thoughtful in our prayers. We should be intentional in our prayers. We should be talking to God because we love him and we want him to answer our prayers. So, folks, if you want your prayers to be more effective, you got to have faith in who you're praying to. You really got to believe in him. You got to have commitment. You got to say, I am going to pray. Make a time. You put a time for your doctor's appointment. You put a time for everything else. Make an appointment to pray. And then it'll start coming more naturally. Then you got to pray in private. People may make fun of you. They may think you're funny or whatever. But you got to get alone with God to be able to talk to him about the serious things. You know, some of the reasons I think we pray quietly is because we don't want everybody to know our business. You know, you may be into some kind of trouble and you don't want everybody to know your business. But you need the one who could answer and to help you to know. So you say, Lord, I stole today. Help me. Forgive me. I mean, you need to be able to say that kind of stuff. That's why I think you need this privacy. It's a good thing. And you got to be intentional. If you're just babbling a bunch of stuff, it's not the way to get your prayers answered. So great. So we know a couple things we can do. Let's look at this Lord's Prayer. Dave asked me about this one time. He said, the Lord's Prayer is interesting to me. You know, I've heard people pray it a lot, but I don't really understand everything that it means. Well, let's look at it quickly. Verse 9, if you have your Bibles open still. This is the model prayer that Jesus gave the disciples. Beginning of verse 9, it says, then this is how you should pray. Or it says, in this manner, therefore, pray. Notice what it says. It says, then this is how you should pray. It doesn't say, this is what you should pray. Did you ever see that? This is how you should pray. He's given us a model prayer. He's given us the architecture. He's given us the structure of how our prayers should take place. Not necessarily mumbling the exact same words that are here. He's saying this is the structure in which you need to pray. And so it's a guideline for prayer. If I was to ask everybody how many people had this memorized, I bet more than 50% of you would raise your hand. Because a lot of us have been taught this prayer from an early time. Why? Because it's known as the Lord's Prayer. Well, let's look at what it says. Here in verse 9, it says, this is how you begin. Our Father who art in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Jesus says, you can begin talking to me by walking right into the presence of me. You don't have to go through anybody. You don't have to do anything special. You just say, our Father who art in heaven. Lord Jesus, here I am. And you don't have to start out your prayers. Almighty God, the omniscient one, the one who created everything. You don't have to do that. It says he's your Father. He says you can go to him and say, Dad, I got a problem. Dad, I love you. Dad, I'm lost. You can do that. You can go to him because he's your Father. It says our Father who art in heaven. The next part of the prayer says, hallowed be thy name, or hallowed be your name. And what this means is we're supposed to show respect to God, just like we would to one of our loved ones. We're supposed to respect the Lord for who he is, for what he has done. We should thank him. We should say, thank you, Lord, for creating the world. Thanks for making me in your image. Thank you for taking my place on that cross. Thank you, Lord, for the good life that you've given me. Thank you. I don't know about you, but I find when most people are miserable, it's because they're focusing on the negative things and not the positive things. I think that's why the prayer is worded this way. It says, first, go address God. Hey, God, it's me. Next, man, I appreciate all those things you've done for me. Why? Because it gets us in the mindset of being thankful. You see, it's pretty hard to pray when you're mad, when you're angry, when you're negative sometimes. And so he's saying, ask me, talk to me, come to me. Remember who I am. Thank me for those things. Get your mind in the right spot. And then you pray the rest of these things. It says, your kingdom come. You're praying, well, God's kingdom is going to come soon. Now, the kingdom in the Old Testament was Israel. The kingdom in the New Testament is the church, the universal church. And so you're saying, Jesus, I'm ready for you to come and to take your church. Lord, come on, we're ready for you. And it says we should, and what that means also is that we should pray for his kingdom. We should pray for the church. Do you pray for the leaders in the church? Do you pray for the Sunday school teachers, the musicians, the pastor? Do you pray for the people in the church? Look at the person next to you. Look at the person across from you. How long has it been since you prayed for them? Folks, prayer is what's going to get us through this tough time. We all know the devil's attacking our church. You're not going to fight him on your own. I preached that sermon a couple weeks ago. We got to go to prayer. We got to lift each other up. We got to help each other. Are you praying for the people outside of the church? When's the last time you prayed for somebody that wasn't in your family that was lost? Think about it. We got to pray for the church's future, its outreach, God's ministry through it. Next part of the prayer says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. People say, well, this is all about praying for God's will. Yeah, it is. Jesus prayed for God's will. You say, well, Jesus was God. Yep, and he still prayed for his Father's will, didn't he? He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know what? He said, hey, if you want to take this cup from me, Lord, I'm good with that. That's okay. You can do that. But in Luke 22:42, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We're supposed to ask for the will of God to be done in our life. And here's the reason. We're not infallible. We're not perfect. You and I, we can think we're doing a great thing. We can think we're doing the right thing. We can have the greatest intention to think this is God's will with all the right meaning behind it and everything. But then we say, well, Lord, but not my will, but your will be done. And then God does something different. You're like, hey, what's going on here? Why are you changing all the plans? Because you're asking him to. You want what God wants. He wants better for your life than what you want. I like we were talking about prayer one time, and Sister Lorraine said, she said, I've had a prayer answered before that wasn't one that should have been answered. I'm like, what? She said, yeah. I prayed and prayed and prayed, and God was telling me no and no and no, and I was like, please, Lord. And finally he gave it to me. Then I realized, yeah, I didn't want that. But God was good enough to show her that. You can pray those things to the Lord. Next it says, give us this day our daily bread. That's simply just committing yourself to God. That's trusting Him to provide for your needs. Bill had to do this, didn't you, Bill? I'll bet Bill was, give us his daily bread all the time. He was going through looking for a job for well over a year. He didn't know how he was going to make it day to day. Angela didn't know. But God kept providing through different ways every time. But nevertheless, it was provided, and they're here today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. Whether you need food, clothing, shelter, healing, ask God. He'll give it to you. Then the end part of the prayer gets down to some nitty-gritty stuff here. It says, forgive us our debts. I like that part. But then listen to this. As we also forgive our debtors. Uh-oh. Do we really have to have that part of the prayer? Seriously? I mean, have you ever asked yourself that? Like, I want to be forgiven, but I don't want to be forgiven the way I forgive other people. That's bad news. Like, God... really, Jesus, this wasn't a mistranslated problem? Like, I'm going to go to the NIV, the American Standard Version, the King James Version, New King James. Got to be different in one of those things. Nope. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. So this is where you say, you know, Father, I stretched the truth a little bit today. Okay, God, I lied. Would you forgive me? Say, well, God, I picked up that magazine I probably shouldn't have picked up today. And Mike says, well, I was looking through that Sports Illustrated issue. You probably shouldn't have been looking through that today. God, forgive me of my lust. And the Lord is kind of quiet. Mike's like, well, what's going on? Well, it's because of that second part. Second part says you can't be forgiven of your sins until you're willing to forgive everybody else of theirs. So if I pray, Lord, would you forgive me of this line? And I'm holding a grudge against somebody. What does that mean? Well, that doesn't sound like God's forgiving me of my problem. If I say, Lord, forgive me of my lust, but yet I'm not forgiving this other person who's been unfaithful to their wife or husband, you think God's going to forgive me of my lust problem? No, that's not what it says. Yeah. So you must be a forgiver before you can be forgiven. Oh, man, Lord. So it says, pray, Father, forgive me as I have forgiven others. Then in verse 13 we read, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You see, everybody here has an area of weakness. We're not bulletproof. I used to think that was true. I mean, we're not Ford Mustang blocks, Brother Ron. We're not bulletproof. We're not built like a rock or built tough or whatever their new commercial is. You know, we have weaknesses. We have problems that lie within us. And you know, that's when Satan comes after us. He says, oh, I see a little weakness there. Kicks in through that door, doesn't he? Yeah, he does. Kind of reminds me of the story I heard about a little boy. He was saving up for a bike or video game system. I forgot which one. He was saving up for something that was expensive. And he said, Lord, please don't let the ice cream truck come by. I almost have enough money to buy this thing. Why? Because that ice cream truck would have came by. That kid would have bust that piggy bank open and went and bought all the ice cream his heart ever desired, right? You know, sometimes that's how we feel too. So we got to say, Lord, help protect us from this temptation so we don't fall back into this sin. And so I hope you'll look at this prayer a little bit differently now. Because maybe you prayed it mindlessly before. And praying stuff mindlessly is not of much value. Because why? We're supposed to have faith when we pray. We're supposed to be committed when we pray. We're supposed to pray intentionally and with fervor. And so, in a minute, we're going to say this prayer together. But before we do that, I want you to think about what Jesus just taught us. When you think about what it means to pray, Our Father in Heaven, think about the joy of being able to come into the presence of God and being able to call Him Father. When you say, Hallowed be Thy name, lift up your voice and your heart to God and respect Him for who He is. Thank Him for the ways that He's blessed you over and over again. Think about that. When you say the words, Your kingdom come, think about God's mission, His outreach, and His mission in the church until heaven arrives. When you say, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, pray for God to confess all those wrong thoughts in your mind and get them corrected so it'll be His will instead of your will. When you hear the words, give us this day our daily bread, think about all the activities, all the things that are going on in your life, and realize that God is the one who provides the provision for you, not yourself. When you hear the words, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, think about, is there any sin that I've committed that I need to repent for? Because, folks, we have to be forgivers. Think if there's anything that someone has against you. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. If you have an area of weakness, and we all do, ask God to strengthen you, to identify it, so that you can have victory over it. So let's stand. And let's bow. Let's think of those things as we say this prayer together as a family. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to share one quick thought before I close. Church, if we want a better relationship with God, if we want a better relationship with our spouse, we want a better relationship with those people at work, then what we need is to have a better relationship with our Lord, and that starts with our prayer life. In the beginning, I showed you a little clip from War Room about what a lukewarm prayer looks like. Let me show you what a prayer of a powerful warrior looks like. Watch this. Beginning of the message today, I asked you, how is your prayer life? Only you could truly know. If something is missing, why don't you come down to the altars today and make it right? Don't wait any longer. You see, without a strong prayer life, you've got a weak rest of your life. So let's stand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And if God is leading you to come down here and pray, then I hope you'll come down here and pray like the warrior that God created you to be. Let's stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I come to you today, God, and I pray that people are making some decision right now, God. I pray that people are committing their life to you, God. That people aren't backing away, Lord, but they're saying, you're right. I got relationship problems. I have other problems. I feel like I'm slipping from you, Jesus. Lord, I need your help today. I pray that people are making commitments and say, I'm going to change today. Today is going to be a brand new day for me. April 29, 2018. That is the day where I've recommitted my life to you, Lord. Where I'm going to pray to you, God. I want to pray to you without ceasing. I don't want to give up, Lord. God, I'm fighting some battles, but they're not battles that are as big as my God. I look at those battles and those battles look so difficult and they scoff at me, but then I tell them, you don't understand how big my God is. Lord, help us, God. I pray that people are making commitments, Lord. I pray that people are not going to let Satan come between them and you, Lord. I pray, God, that people are going to stand up for what they believe in, that they're going to move forward, Lord. And I pray that, God, you would use the Holy Spirit to change people's lives in this church today. As we have this song of invitation, if anyone needs to come pray for any reason, please come to the Lord and pray today. For it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Josh, we play that.
Jesus.